For your digital download pleasure, it's Tim and Davo in podcast form.
Something has joined our family at home for the first time this year. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be a pretty simple year, but it's a very, for a lot of families, this is a big time. But Elf on the Shelf has popped up for the first time. Yeah, in our house.
He hasn't knocked on my door yet. No. And to be honest, I don't think I'd cope with an elf in my shelf.
Okay.
They're busy.
It's not in the shelf.
Well, they're busy. They would be at my house.
Just hiding. Just too much going on. Too much to report. Yeah. But for people that haven't had elves on their shelves before, they are there to, you know, just cast an eye over the household. Make sure young ones are, you know, behaving, I guess, for lack of a better term, in the lead up to Christmas
time. And they're trouble, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are very cheeky. They get themselves in some sticky situations. And, you know, my wife and I, our son Jack, he's almost 2.5 now. And we didn't think that the Elf on the Shelf will be visiting this year. We're like, oh, maybe, you know, when he's 3 and a bit, maybe that'll happen. But 1st December, wouldn't you know, Elf on the Shelf rocks up, little Elfie.
Well, the elves put a lot of effort in, and it's a lot of effort every single day for the elves.
So what I've discovered 3 days in, it's harder than I thought for the elf, of course, to be finding all of these different places. And for the elf to remember that every night it needs to go to a different section of the house to cast its eye over a different area, so that our son can find him in the morning. Now, as a completely removed third party, not involved whatsoever, I feel for the Elf on the Shelf. I really feel for the imagination and the creativity and the effort that it requires.
I completely agree. I think it's a lot of work for these elves. They are busy. I mean, they were already stacked up with Christmas, making presents, getting it sorted for Santa.
Now one's on watch.
And now they're on watch and they're getting into everything.
They are getting into everything. So I was thinking next year was the year that we were going to be chatting, like, you know, and you can't touch Elf on the Shelf. That's the thing. It's the magic of the Elf on
the
Shelf.
You've invited him in too early.
I know. And a completely non-involved, I have nothing to do with where Elfie ends up.
Of course.
I can only imagine the panic that he's feeling late at night before maybe even shutting his eyes. And he would never curse, but, you know, reindeer.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a lot. I really feel for those people, also the elves, that are in that situation.
Well, it is the 4th of December, so luckily they're not tiring out yet.
No, you know, 20-odd days left. I'm sure there's plenty more ideas.
And if you have any ideas
for the elves, not me,
send it.
I'm removed. I only know the guy. I barely know the guy.
We get it. But send them in. Text us if you want.
Yeah, I'll pass it on.
Tim and Davo.
Look, obviously my number one form of consuming media is radio.
Yep, that's how I get my songs. We love it. But we are also not blind, or we don't live under a rock. Spotify Wrapped came out today. A lot of people be streaming music. It's convenient. We get it. Radio will always be here for you.
Of course.
Because Spotify cannot offer what radio can, but Spotify definitely offers something incredible, and everyone loves the Wrapped that drops.
Just louder for the back. Radio will
always... Radio reigns supreme! Number one, local!
But it is so exciting when you get your Wrapped, because it does sort of give you a bit of a snapshot of your year, what you've been listening to, what your vibe is, all of that sort of jazz.
And you're either like stoked with it or you are very, very confused.
Now, how did you feel about yours this year?
It's the first year that my son's music has influenced. Mm-hmm. So 3 of my top 5 were Wiggle songs. And they're short songs. They creep up in there. So that was new. But my number one song was by an artist, like we play him heaps, Shaboozy. But the song, I don't think many people have heard, it's called Fire and Gasoline. And look, it's something. I love it.
Okay. Yeah, we only ever end up fishes on the breeze. Fire means gasoline.
If I could write songs, they'd sound like this, David.
Yeah, okay.
But then it was Old MacDonald Had a Farm, Hot Potato, and Shake Your Sillies Out. So, you know, big shift. And then number 5 was some yeahs. So,
yeah, nice.
Were you happy with your number one?
Look, I wouldn't say I'm happy with it, but I know I definitely gave this an absolute rinsing this year. It was a song called Stephanie.
You call her Stephanie? I call her Stephanie.
It's pretty pretty much the Wiggles. If you really think about it.
No, it's not. This is absolute top tier EDM vibes for sure.
It's definitely, it's the first year where I've gone, oh, can I take out my kids' music? Because I just want to see what my stats are. I'm a stats man. I love it. But there was something new that they've added this year that's got everyone fired up.
It certainly does. Spotify is letting us know our listening age. So all of the songs that we've been listening to this year, what does that accumulate to and what age group are you in?
So, Davo, with a song like this being your number one song, you call her Stephanie, I call her Stephanie. Surely, you know, EDM, up and about.
Young.
That's young. What was your Spotify age?
Look, I'm not going to lie, my emo bangers from the early 2000s really popped it up a little
bit.
Like
that number?
It was 37.
37. Now, you were pretty unhappy with 37. Yeah. Now, again, my number one song from Shaboozy, it's like... Yeah, we only ever end up bitches on the breeze. So people are probably thinking, oh, it's probably going to be a little bit older than Davo.
Mm.
67 is my listening age.
You got 30 years on me.
67! Given I did listen to a lot of Sky, Hooks and Heart this year.
Yeah. That'll do it.
It's just, I just don't think that I represent, like I understand I probably, I'm only 32.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm going, yeah, all right, I'm probably a little bit more older than, like how I act a little bit older than
yeah,
I am.
Yeah, you do. Old
but
man vibes.
67?
Mm.
67?
Yeah.
67, all right, all right.
Don't get into a 6-7 loop. We
can't
have it.
The hands are moving, Dave. We thought we wanted to do a fun little game.
Yeah.
You call up on 522-329-55. Tell us your most listened to song.
Mm-hmm.
We'll guess your listening age.
Yeah,
we'd I reckon
love
that's,
that.
That's all we need. That first song.
Yeah,
that,
absolutely.
Because I think your one, like the EDM, yes, a lot of young people are listening to it, but a lot of people in their 30s, now mm-hmm. you're not 37, but I feel like they're, this is the way they're reliving their techno days, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So
I mean,
getting
that
up
feels...
and about it. And my Shaboozy does sound like Johnny Cash, so yeah. I get it.
Absolutely. So give us a call now, 522-232-955. We want to guess your Spotify age.
Yeah, we just need your most played song from Spotify this year, and we think we'll be able to crack that code. Let's chat to Camille from East Geelong. Good afternoon, Camille.
Hello.
Now, we appreciate you calling up. So we're gonna ask a couple of questions, and we'll try and work this out, all right?
Yep.
All right, Camille, so I need to ask you, what was your number three song for the year?
So my number three was a song from Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh, yes.
Which is what probably has influenced the age.
Oh, okay. Ooh, no okay. more hints, no more hints.
Number two.
Number two was The Fate of Ophelia by Taylor Swift.
Okay, we just played that moments ago. So... Yeah. Very popular on Radio 2.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people listening to that. What was your number one, Camille?
So I'm a parent too, and I have to say my number one was a lullaby called Choo Choo Train.
Banger. Beautiful. Absolute banger. Do you know the one? Great for kids. Yeah. Oh, man, Choo Choo Train. It goes hard. Okay. So those are your three songs. Camille, you're allowed to not answer this. I feel like we need to know your actual age first.
Yeah, my actual age is 35.
35. Okay. All right. So got some Taylor Swift in there, a lullaby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send it at 69.
You're going to... you're a child. The lullaby songs are for you, Davo. That's crazy. I think it's a little bit less. I think it might be in the 40s or 50s because Taylor Swift's keeping it young. Lullabies, again, we don't know if it's... Because I had a lot of Wiggles. And I thought, like, well, does Spotify think I'm a child?
Nah.
But no, it thinks I'm a parent. Mm. So that's probably in the 30s to 40s again.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ella Fitzgerald.
She's bringing the age up for sure.
I'm going to go 49. So David's going to go 69. I'm going to go 49.
Yep.
Camille, what's your Spotify age?
So my Spotify age is 87.
What's going on
And I did
there?
Not even think that was possible.
What's going on there, Camille?
It's Ella.
It's Ella. They were like, oh, because you're listening to pre-1950s song, this is what we think you
are. That's
okay.
Wild.
So Ella Fitzgerald was born in 1917. She passed away in 1996, age 79.
Okay.
I like jazz.
I just like just.
You missed her whole lifespan yourself, Camille. But here you are, absolutely. A number one fan.
I was born in the wrong era.
87. There won't be anyone older than that, Camille.
Nah. You're a star. I don't think so. No. I was shocked.
All right. Well, off to bed for you. It's almost five. Yeah. So.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
I found something out about an Australian icon that has absolutely rattled me. And if I'm completely honest with you, Tim, it's pissed me off.
Oh, no. Now, you are not someone who is easily cheesed off, Davo. So you are thick skin D is what I call you.
Be true. I am a clicker and we know that. I'm talking about Tim Tams.
Oh, right. An iconic Aussie biscuit.
Yeah. The good people at Arnott's have been ripping us off something disgusting over the last few years.
That's not good.
And I've only just discovered it.
I'm still settled on, I've got a beef with Tim Tams.
Yeah.
Why aren't they in the chocolate section of the supermarket compared to the biscuit? There's way more chocolate in that than biscuit.
Well, you say that. I don't reckon. I think that sits somewhere in the middle, and we can discuss this at another time.
But anyway, you're
because
right.
I've got a lot to say about that as well.
Get it off your chest, girl.
Well, look, okay, so the good people at Arnott's, they've been absolutely screwing us over for years. Now, of course, your standard pack, actually, before we get into this, I did some investigating.
Okay.
I got me Pink Panther on.
All right, well, this is important. All right, let's see. Deep dive. Let's go.
So your standard packet of Tim Tams, you know, your classic chocolate coated.
Yeah, there's like, what, how many would be in that? Like 15 maybe?
11 biscuits 11. In a packet, right?
Weird number.
Not enough, obviously.
Weird number.
It is the weird number because you can't share that between an even amount of people and they know that. They know what they're doing.
Take it to 12. Put it to 12. That's ridiculous. Okay.
Now, another one, my favourite style of Tim Tams is the double coated.
Ah, right. I'm just a standard Tim. Just a standard Tim for a Tim Tam. Mm. Yeah, but double stuff's a bit too much for me.
Yeah, is it?
But I know a lot of people love it.
See, I really like the double coated. Yeah. I think, if you're going for a Tim Tam, let's go all out.
So hard.
Mate, turns out the double coated only have 9 biscuits in the packet.
Is it?
They give you extra chocolate and take away 2 biscuits.
Well, is the biscuit wider than a regular Tim Tam?
No, it's like I'm going to pull the rein back
in. No, Tim. Listen to yourself. Cool, calm and collected, Lauren Davidson, folks.
It's not thicker. It's got an extra coat of chocolate on there, but it's not making it.
But across that's taken out. Nah, I could understand it being a 10. I could understand it being the, if they're talking about width of the bicky, bring it down to 10. Mm-hmm. 9's taken. Mm-hmm. Taking it too far.
They're literally being so stingy over an extra layer of chocolate on these biscuits. You're getting charged the same amount for the packets.
I was going to say, so like, what's the? I would assume the double coated could cost more,
no,
even if it was for the same amount.
It's like, you know, you get your different. You got your, say, like your dairy milk chocolate, right? Yeah. Your normal, and then you get one that have some clinkers in there. They're not charging extra because they got clinkers or whatever in
they
there.
Should be.
But, oh, okay, now you're on Arnott's side and I'm angry.
Can...
you like consumerism. You talk, like that they're taking all our money.
Let's talk about net grammage, if you want to get sexy for a second.
Stop.
How many, like in a pack of 9 versus the pack of 11, is it the same net grams?
I don't know.
This is the thing that we need to look into, though.
Why can't you just believe women?
Not very well played from you. You've clearly been in this position before where you've been wrong and a woman, and it's time to fly the flag.
I was trying to expose a company
ripping
us off as people.
I don't like it.
And here you are debunking me, debunking the big dogs. Like, what are we doing, Tim?
I agree. 2 less in a double coated is wild. So I'm happy. I'm on your side. I don't like shrinkflation.
No.
I don't like inflation.
Sounds like you do.
I like consumerism. And me and my friends at Arnott's, you know, when we sit there at the end of the year and we go through the money. No, trust me, I don't like Tim Tams. So I don't work for them.
It's not explaining the 50 boxes of shakes behind you.
Yeah. This is the thing. I don't like chocolate. But I am happy to have a barbecue any day of the week. No, it's not right. It's not okay.
No, thank you.
And we will look into it. I'm going to look at some net grammage. But it's still not fair.
Look.
I've heard about this happening.
I don't like our listeners getting ripped off, okay? I'm here for the people that are listening to this gorgeous show.
Yep.
Gorgeous, gorgeous listeners. And sorry about the Tim Tams.
Now, if you get stuck in the mud, you're stuck in the mud. You shouldn't have been in the mud in the first place.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
Mate, the live music scene in this region is brilliant.
Thriving at the moment.
I mean, locally, obviously incredible. Had Queenscliff Music Festival, all of that stuff. All the hotels that are got bands playing there is amazing. But only an hour up the road in the Big Smoke, we're getting the big names.
Oh yeah, Gaga's this weekend. We've got Good Things on tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's just warmer weather and big names want to come to Australia during that time. And it's been a big 2 years in particular, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yesterday I saw that a band is coming to Melbourne next year and I'm stoked about it. It is Mumford & Sons.
Let's go. But it was not your fault but mine, and it was your heart on the line. The chokehold that they yes. had in the late 2000/early 2010s of that, the banjo was bigger
huge.
Than ever, bro.
It's coming back soon, no doubt. No doubt.
My wife in particular loves that. We call it a Mumford & Sons top, and it's like that long sleeve top, and then it's got the buttons down the middle.
Linen?
Yeah, linen. Those things.
Always linen, yeah, for always sure. Linen. Yeah, they're going to be playing on Saturday the 25th of April next year at Rod Laver Arena, and I think the tickets are going on sale very, very soon. Pre-sale is out and about at the moment.
They're up and about. I've never seen Mumford & Sons, but they sound like fun.
Well, look, when I saw this, my heart sank because I've got history with Mumford & Sons.
No, and his sons. Yeah, not good, bro. Not good. You got history. You got beef, like good memories, bad memories?
Well, look, about 10 years ago, I travelled over to the UK for a bit of a Europe trip. I mean, obviously, traveller.
You know, in your early 20s, you've got to do what you got to do.
Barely 20.
100%, barely.
And, basically, while we were over there, we decided that we'd go to Reading Music Festival.
That's a big one. That's a really, really cool one, yeah.
Massive. And the reason, one of the big reasons why we were going was because Mumford & Sons were playing.
Really, really cool.
I mean, they were at the height of their career, absolutely slaying the game with their banjo and their linen wear.
Slapping their knees, you know, getting the spoons out. People were loving it.
Absolutely. So this was a four-day festival. We'd forked out the tickets. We were camping there, and we were out at, like, a VIP camping experience, which was still about a 30-minute trek to the festival.
Oh, every time you wanted to go in. Yeah. I mean, that's not too bad. Like a bit of a ponder wander, you know?
Well, no, it was awful, but it was also like hundreds of thousands of people there camping. True. So, you know, you have to take the good with the bad.
Muddy, I imagine.
Horrific.
Yeah, just
you're wearing your gumboots.
Yeah, yeah.
It was actually some of the worst campsites I've ever seen.
I imagine.
Anyway, so obviously one day we were getting down to the festival. It was Panic at the Disco starting the day.
Very cool.
And they were on about 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And then Mumford & Sons were on 8 o'clock in the evening. So big gap in between. Still great bands in between. But we saw Panic at the Disco. And let me tell you, we went hard for Panic at the Disco. We were celebrating.
When you've been panicking that long, you know, you can get a little bit tired.
Yeah, well, look, we went in there. We, like I said, a few naughty waters, had a great time.
Never heard of Naughty Waters. That's so funny.
So then we thought, you know, it's a long gap between Panic at the Disco and Mumford & Sons tonight. So let's just walk back to the campsite. We'll have a few more Bevuados down there.
Yeah.
And then we'll head in to see Mumford & Sons. Headed back to the campsite, did the trek, enjoyed ourselves a little bit too much. Thought we'd have a tiny little nap. Well, while we were napping, our phones went flat. And we woke up to hearing this in the distance.
In the distance. So you're half an hour away from that day.
Yeah.
Did they open with that at least? Was it their first song? How?
No. We had missed almost the entire set. They had 10 minutes left to go. We were hearing the big hits from a very far distance. We slept through Mumford & Sons.
Now, a four-day festival doesn't sound cheap to get tickets to. And they were one of the main reasons you went?
Yeah.
What are we talking for ticket prices? Aussie dollars?
Aussie dollars. I'll give you it in Aussie dollars. For two of us, camping experience, $2,600.
I've just done some full-blown karate on the microphone in here. Okay. Nah, that sucks.
Yeah.
You slept through Mumford & Sons.
I slept through Mumford & Sons, an iconic band. I've been chasing their tail ever since they split up.
Okay.
I'll finally get to redeem myself.
All right. Well, maybe we'll give you some like Red Bull before no April. No, no, so you won't miss it. But you know, sometimes when you tie, you sleep through things, Dave. Right? Could hit the phones with what you sleep through.
I'd love to hear it.
I'll stick around, you know, a couple of quick innocent friend slaps. Just go, come on, mate, wake up. We'll get you through it. You know, it only cost you $2,500.
Yeah, it was a small fortune. But hey, like we did miss Mumford & Sons. We will be making up for it. And what a damn shame.
And as my son would say, now I'm taking money, he's about $2,500.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm tie, daddy. Mm. And, you know, when we're tie, we unfortunately can sleep through things. We've had
That's
a few
right.
people call up Davo that we are going to hit the phones with. Amanda in Leopold, what did you sleep through?
So my daughter was 10 at the time, and she slept through a One Direction concert that I had paid $150 for.
That is massive. Ow! And also...
She slept through two of them.
Through
two concerts.
Why do you keep taking her? She's not a fan.
Yeah, no. Then she asked for Ed Sheeran, and she stayed awake for that one.
Okay, oh, that's crazy. You know, put the respect on his name.
I know, but like what, Ed Sheeran versus One Direction, and One Direction in their height of fame, all five of
two
them.
Two of them. Yes.
She was a massive, massive fan. She'd made a sign and everything, and she slept through it.
Well, it's good that she could have double used the sign as a blanket when she did fall asleep. So I guess repurposed it, Amanda. So we appreciate that. Sian in Clifton Springs, mate, what did you sleep through?
My labour. I had twins and I woke up in the morning to her head and his hand hanging out.
His hand hanging out, did you say?
Yeah.
Well, it's a nice little wave.
Okay, well, first of all, everything's okay? Everyone's all good?
Yeah, they're 27 and fine now.
All right.
That hand would haunt my dreams.
I haven't let it go. I haven't.
How? So you just fell asleep, went through some stages of labour... Started breaching.
Didn't feel innocent until, crowned and I woke up. Yeah. I was like, okay, I guess it's now then.
Were these your first children?
First and only. I stopped when I realised I have litters.
It's Tim and Davo.
You know when you get to a point where things that shouldn't frustrate you or get you upset really just tick you off a little bit more?
Yeah.
And you find yourself going, wow, this is a real first world problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here... on the front foot, ready to scream at the top of my lungs, this is not a serious issue.
Okay.
But I think we as a society can put more work into this. I think we need to really focus on how loud kettles can get. Because you don't realize how loud your kettle is until you go to someone else's house and they have a kettle that is so much quieter.
Yeah, okay.
And they're all just doing one thing. They're all boiling water.
Mm-hmm.
But some kettles, Davo, sound like sounds like the V-line is steaming through your kitchen.
Yeah.
And it is over-sensory overload.
I was about to say, brother, the one that I have in Pennington back in Adelaide, me mum's house, it is literally, I can't have a conversation with that woman in the kitchen because it is stressing me out with how loud this kettle is.
Don't get me wrong, I love my mum and my dad. I only get to see them every couple of months. We go over, we stay for a night or so, we catch up. It's beautiful.
Lovely.
The grandkids are all around. It's lovely. It's the home that I spent most of my childhood in. A diesel train resides in their kitchen. The kettle that I think might be older than me. And just this, we can do better. We can do better.
Well, I think that was better for a time because there was once upon a time when the kettle would be on the oven stove screaming at me, like literally going,
and it's just for a cup of tea, just for my mum's silly instant coffee.
I don't like where you went just then. Your eyes went vacant.
That's the kettle, mate. And I didn't think...
I felt like I couldn't stop you.
Like, it gets to the point where if my wife wakes up early in the morning to get some work done, She's like, I'm just going to get up and I go, don't turn on the kettle. It'll wake up the boy. I know he's at the other end of the house, but that's how loud kettles are getting.
In 2025, we've got silent cars at this point. What are we doing?
I don't know if I'm just not in the tax bracket of these silent kettles, but there's, or maybe getting a billy installed in the rental. I don't know, Dave.
You know what kettle would be quiet? And it would have to be quiet.
Okay.
Smeg.
That's what we've got. You think the name value was a gift for my wife for a significant birthday, and I'm that guy that gives his wife a kettle
bloody
for her birthday.
Hell.
So even the big brand name, I haven't checked a Breville. I don't know many other brand names of kettles.
Financially devastated and overstimulated. Yeah. Not good.
Bad crossover.
Well, we're all out of internet. Until next time, this has been Tim and Davo.